founding pastor is that if we have any church problems, I can't blame it on the previous pastor. And that's one of the disadvantages. But also, I'm not having to deal with some of the things that other folks inherit. But our folks, I don't know, and we have nice people, but they have a hard time getting there on time. When I founded our church many years ago, we put in the newspaper and we put on our signs and our bulletins, 9:45. Does that sound impressive? You know, that way it's not 9:30, not 10 o'clock, 9:45. And so they'd show up around 10. I discovered later, it's about 10 years ago, I finally said, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. We moved our service till 10 o'clock. Do you know what the rest of the story is? Yeah, you got the same folks in your church. But I told our worship leader, I said, listen, you're going to start right on time whether you're singing a solo or a duet. I said, there's no point in rewarding the tardy and punishing the punctual. It's amazing. I had to get a factory job many years ago to pioneer our church. And I had always been involved in business. But when I went to work in a factory, they had a time clock there. Oh, the time clock didn't lie. The time clock wouldn't become my buddy. And I found out if I were 3 minutes late, and I had that happen, first 3 minutes they let me go. The second 3 minutes, my foreman came and talked to me. Third 3 minutes, I'm not talking about half an hour, I'm talking about 3 minutes, I was written up. Next time it's probation, and the next time you're out for a total of 15 minutes. Now, I think the house of God deserves the same, better honor than our job does. We always say it's more important than anything, but I think one of the nicest things, a novel idea, get there early and pray. Yeah, it'll make a difference. All right. Now, I'm going to talk to you about something heavy. If I get in trouble over this, you've got to be my defenders and say he said it was wrong, but he said it with a nice spirit. Correction is not rejection. I'm going to talk to you about some of the other people that are not part of the Apostolic Jesus Name movement who do love God. I think we're going to deal with that. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit, if the Lord... Yeah, I may go that other route. And talk to you about how do you deal with a backslider? Now, we'll see what we have time for. Someone who has known the Lord and is backing or drifting away. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it this way, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's not just doctrine to tell you how to be saved and what will happen when the Antichrist comes, but it's also important for reproof. What does reproof mean? When I say he was reproved for his behavior, what does that sound like to you? Yeah, it's very similar to the next word, correction. We're reaffirming that this is a wrong behavior. And we're defining behavior. Correction is when someone has done wrong things and needs to be straightened out. The Bible, the scriptures, are there even for that purpose. And then for instruction in righteousness, not only to correct the wrong behavior, but to show you how to live right. Now here we go. You will never go very far in your walk with the Lord until you understand that the Word of God is not just for doctrine teaching. It's for reproof. It's for correction. It's for instruction in righteousness. The Word has to be able to knock you down and correct your behavior. Proverbs, book of Proverbs, tells you that wisdom will only come through instruction and correction. Yesterday I was dealing a little bit with that new subject, and what's a sign that a son is a love son by his father? What indicates the father loves his son? What word do you think comes to your mind? He chastens, chastises, disciplines. And that's good. How many of you have ever got a little of God's loving? He loved me so hard I could hardly walk for a week. But that's love. That's love. My mama was a tough lady. She was about 5'7", but she had big shoulders and tough. And I never sassed mama. I remember when I was 17, I started to, and one day she went pow, pow across my face. And then I was going to be the tough fella and not let her know that it hurt. Tears streaming down. And so she kept powing. But my mama was very, very severe in her training, and I thank God for it. Because she's severe in her training. We were rather hard on our children too. But our children are serving the Lord, so we probably did some right things. But I was raised in New York City. And I remember a little incident, and my mama reminded me of it. When mama said, stop, I stopped. If I were running down the street and mama said, stop, I didn't say, why? You don't say why to mama. You stopped. She was that severe. I mean, she was not a cruel woman. That was never her way. But she felt to protect, because she was basically a single mother raising children. My father was gone far away. And she had to have control. But one day, little, I don't know what I was, 6, 7 years of age, but I remember part of the feeling. I was running on ahead of mama, and we came to a curb. And I wasn't clear to the curb, and mama said, stop. In fact, I don't even know if she said the word stop. She probably just said, Robert. That was enough. And when she said, Robert, I stopped. I froze. At that moment, a car, evidently driven by a drunk driver, came over the curb, racing on and going down the next street. I would have been just a little greasy spot in the road. And if I had done like most modern kids, why? I don't want to stop. What? I'd been gone. Do you know God does the same thing with us sometimes? Oh, he's merciful. His mercy endureth to all generations. His mercies never end. But he can't extend his mercies if you're no longer here. I was talking to someone a little bit ago, and we're talking about raising children, and I thought all my problems were over once my kids finished high school. See, younger couples don't understand this, but older ones do. It gets worse. See, because when they're real small, and we believed in swatting a child. We were never cruel. I don't think I've ever hit a child, even in spanking, more than 2 or 3 swats, and that was it hurt me more than hurt them, to be honest with you. But we just lost my thought. See, I was thinking about spanking my children. That immediately sends all kinds of thoughts to my brain. It'll come. At what? After high school. She's paying attention. I did this in church here a few months, well, a while back. Sunday morning, I turned and I said, who remembers what I preached on last week? And I turned to my wife, which was not the good thing to do. Now, I'll tell you, the reason I asked, what did I preach on last week, is because I couldn't remember. Now, I don't know why I ended up there. Oh. But the discipline of the Lord, it's good. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, the judgments of God. It talks about them being right, like gold. It talks about how good his judgments and his discipline is. It is. God loves me enough to spank me to keep me out of serious problems. What I started to say about the over 18, once they're out of school, see, when they were smaller, you could give them a swat or you could give them a reward. But when they're 24 and they know everything, then it doesn't work the same way. I told my children, I said, now, I don't want to meddle in your life. You have the right to make wrong decisions, but I will butt in if I see you're going to make a decision that you can't get out of. You start into school and you change your major, that's your decision. You give up one job to try another job, learn. You get married, you stay married. I had a young assistant pastor years ago who was breaking up with a girl that he was in love with, and so he joined the military. Then he told me. I got on the phone, I got a hold of the sergeant or the recruiting man, and I says, this man will not be a soldier. Well, he had not done his swearing in business. We got him out of it. He ended up marrying the girl. They lived happily ever after. So sometimes we can make mistakes. And part of the mercy of God, the Bible says, as an earthly father loves to give good gifts to his children, how much more does our Heavenly Father? All right, here we go. Oh. Yeah, let's talk about the backslider. How do we deal with backsliders? Let me explain a little concept. I'll put this in a book here shortly. It's too complicated. Don't try to draw it all out. I'll go step by step. I call our life, serving Jesus Christ, kingdom living. I'm not in any kind of weird, far-out doctrine. The kingdom of God is where? In you. Jesus, one place, says it's in your midst. And if you look very carefully in the Bible, you'll find some interesting things in the book of Acts. You know what they preached? And in the Gospels, they preached the kingdom. Kingdom merely means the government of God. Where the Lord is king, that's where his kingdom is. Now, I know there's a beyond, and I know God has things beyond, but I happen to believe God's kingdom is wherever he's king. In fact, I don't even like people to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior and my coming king. He's not my coming king. He's my current king. You understand? And I'm playing with words, but there is a concept of, well, someday the kingdom. I think now the kingdom. As we represent Jesus Christ, Paul preached the kingdom. Philip preached the kingdom, the government of God. But when people come to Jesus Christ, there are at least, we say three steps. There may even be a fourth step. A lot of people feel this. Confession. The scriptures that talk about confess with your mouth. You have to admit you're wrong before you get right. Now, repentance, you know what repentance means? In simplest terms, what does the word repentance mean? Turn around. Yeah, I may have told you there, I was in England, just outside of Buckingham Palace, and they were having the changing of the guard, and they would, you know, with those big old bearskin caps, and as they would walk along, there was a sergeant at arms, and he was barking things out with a heavy Scottish burr in his voice. And I heard him, he says, repent! Now, that wasn't very clear to you, but what he was saying was, repent. And you know what they did? And I can't do it, but they clicked their heels, and just like that, they turned around. You know why some people have a problem? They have an experience with God, but they've never repented. They're still going the way they were going. And that's... I got in a little argument with a preacher one time. Yeah, that's hard to imagine. But I did, because he was preaching the Holy Ghost and how easy it was to get the Holy Ghost. Anybody come and get it. And I happen to believe that God gives his Holy Ghost gift freely. But Jesus told them to go and preach repentance and baptism too. But he preached the Holy Ghost, and I thought, there's people getting the Holy Ghost because God is so good in giving out his gift. But they need to understand repentance. About 20, 25 years ago, when the charismatic renewal, or whatever you want to call it, took place, there were scenes of people drinking cocktails and talking in tongues. At least people told me about it. There are some awful things going on. And I'm sorry, there's still things like that going on. People who have never repented, they go on living their lifestyle, and they think the Holy Ghost is just sort of a nice, handy thing to attach to their life. So we teach confession. In other words, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Jesus Christ alone is my Lord and Savior. And then we repent. And then, I happen to believe in baptism. Any of you believe in baptism? Oh, okay. Oh, it's at least 70% here, so that's good. I believe in water baptism. I believe it's by immersion, because the word baptizo means immerse, submerge. And it's a type of burial, you know, to sprinkle sand on your head and say you're buried. A person's going to stink. You put them in the ground and you bury them. You cover them up. There's a few folks that I really, when I put them in the tank, I really felt like putting my foot on them and holding there till the bubbles stop. Preachers are real. I mean, we don't tell you that, because that's so horrible. But you know what? Some of them probably would have been better off. I mean, I wouldn't have been better off. But see, because the Bible says once people have heard the truth and they walk away from the truth. Isn't there a scripture about a dog returned to his vomit and a pig returned to the mire or the mud? And then there's even a scripture that says it was better for some had they not ever heard the truth. I don't understand how God's going to judge everything, and it's none of my business, really. But if he says it was better for some to have never heard it, I happen to believe that it was better for some to have never heard it than to reject God's truth. Kingdom living. Then I believe you're baptized in the water and the Spirit. How many believe you get the Holy Ghost baptism? Is there any indication you get the Holy Ghost baptism? You got a smile on your face, right? Is that the evidence? You love your mother-in-law. Well, we're pushing it a little bit. Well, Paul and Peter, you know what? They seem to feel the tongues was the initial evidence. And so I'm with that group. They remember the council in Jerusalem? We heard them speak with tongues just like we did, says Peter. They didn't say, we watched their lives for the next 3 years and they walked in victory. That proved anything. Because sometimes you don't get to watch lives for 3 years. But there's an initial evidence. But once you've done that, that's not the end of the journey. Now, I'm sorry, one of the greatest faults people give against Pentecostals is they say, and you've heard me use this word before, experiential. That means we live on an experience. But Jesus tells us, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? In other words, it's a walk. It's not just an experience. In our churches, we're so thrilled with the experience, we keep talking about the experience. But you know what? I would feel horrible if I were running a hospital where babies were being born, and I could say, last year we had 200 babies born in this hospital, and 20 of them are still alive. They'd shut us down in a moment. See, I'm a new birth preacher. See, I happen to believe that's new birth. They're born again. And when we lose them, that's horrible. You're looking at a man who lost two of his own children. I can't describe in words that people who have not gone through this loss can understand the loss of your child. How does our Lord feel about those that are born into his family and are gone? Say, well, you know, the seed falls on the ground and some of it comes up and some of it doesn't. We're not talking about broadcasting seed. Seed is the word of God. You broadcast it. And where the word of God goes, you put a radio broadcast on the air. And 50,000 people hear the station and seven of them have their lives transformed. That's broadcasting. A lot of it falls on stony ground. A lot of it the birds pluck away. But born again, you're either born or not born. Who was it yesterday or day before? One of the teachers says, you can't be just a little bit pregnant. You are or you're not. You're either born again or you're not born again. All right, here we go. So you're born again, but Jesus wants you to live a life. In my book on discipleship, I talk about the work and the way of the cross. The work of the cross is what God does. The way of the cross is what we're to do. The work of the cross, the Bible says, no man cometh to the Lord except the Spirit draw him. You didn't even come to the Lord because you wanted to. He loved you first and reached out to you first. How many of you baptized yourself? I had a guy come to me years ago, and he wanted me to rebaptize him because when he was 6 years old, his mother baptized him in the bathtub. And somehow or other, he wasn't convinced that that was a good baptism. And then the Holy Ghost. How many of you here earned your Holy Ghost? I want to see how many earned your Holy Ghost. No, you didn't. I got you, didn't I? Got you, didn't I? See, that's what... You don't earn it. If you earn it, then it's not a gift. And we need to get that clear in our mind. I believe you need to seek the Lord, and the day that you seek me with your whole heart, that day you'll find me. I believe in that. I definitely believe in that. But you know what? You don't earn it by your good works, because some of you would never have gotten it. Because you had not a whole lot of good works before you were saved, and you went through a whole lot of bad works till you got your life together, even after you were saved. It's his gift. But then people come into the kingdom. Now, they get in union with Christ. Oh, for the sake of time and for your sake, let me give you some scriptures that union with Christ. I was going to print up a whole bunch of them. Philippians 1:21. Those of you who want to write down scriptures, unions with Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Union with Christ. Colossians 3:3, one of my favorite verses. Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's called union with Christ. Maybe you've never heard that term. You can use it your own word, but union seems to work good with me. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. That one you probably know. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We're talking about one. You know, the oneness that thrills me. I just don't have time right. the oneness that thrills me. I've had no problem with believing the mighty God in Christ Jesus. I came to the Lord under Brother Andrew Urshan's church in New York City. He used to have a sign, a little neon sign. It said, Jesus is God, Isaiah 9:6. I think it's 9:6 or 6:9. When you get old, stuff like that happens. I don't even know my social security number. But do you remember what verse I'm talking about? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And sometime, just for the fun of it, look at the next verse. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. He's setting up a government. All right, so the mystery of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, great is the mystery of godliness. God was in Christ. God was manifest in the flesh. I love that. But the greater mystery is that the infinite mighty God could be in the likeness of a Trapani, of you, my blessed sister, of you with the Viking shirt, Minnesota Vikings shirt on. It was on sale. Okay. All right. But see, that's the marvelous thing. God comes into and dwells in stupid, lazy, real, miserable, inconsistent people and says, I'm putting my spirit in you. Some days you don't look like a temple. one last one I'll give you. 1 Corinthians 12:27. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. For those of you who want to get another one, well, that's enough. God's plan is to dwell in you, to live in you, to have a union. Don't let that word throw you. A togetherness. Now that's God's plan. And what happens though is some people, they've confessed, repented, been baptized in the water and the Spirit, they get out of union with Christ. You ever met anybody in church who just didn't seem to have very much Jesus showing in their life? Don't look around. Have you ever met any? Maybe they're not in your church. Maybe they're all at my church. I'll send some to you. I know they can show me on the calendar. And they can point on a map the place where they first repented of their sins, and they can show me a little affidavit on the wall that says they were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on such a day. And some churches, they even give away little plaques that say, or little things that say, when you got the Holy Ghost. So I'm not denying that they had this marvelous experience with God, but they're no longer walking with Him. Jesus said it this way, if any man would be my disciple. You know what that kind of means? Yeah, I actually think he's saying not everybody wants to. You ever heard of fire insurance? In the olden days when we still believed in hell, well, preachers they'd preach hellfire, but we're living in a world of atomic bombs and you wouldn't walk down the streets of your city after dark. So that's so frightening. Hell doesn't seem quite as bad. It's kind of air-conditioned. And like one man said, all my friends will be there. That sounds real cute. But God loved us so much, it's not His will that any of us should perish. Incidentally, hell wasn't made for us anyway. Prepared for the devil and his angels. But hell has enlarged itself. Out of union with Christ. Well, what happens when people get out of union with Christ? Well, they can do one of two things. They can do good works. See, everybody who is not walking in Christ Jesus doesn't act like a devil. I've met people in church that never won a soul to Jesus Christ. They've been around the church. They've been in the way for 20 years. They've got all the things mastered. They attend services. We're there early. We're the punctual folks. And they're damper on the whole service. You heard, remember years ago they used to do those little pins for faithfulness to Sunday school? And every year they get longer and longer because you put another little hanging thing on them. I heard about one guy who had, I think it was 47 years. And then he missed a Sunday. He broke his leg. He tripped over the end of the pin, you know. I heard about this. But showing up doesn't mean you're in union with Christ. Ministry. Gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You might as well know a man can do evil things, that if he has the gift of gab, he'll still have the gift of gab. Some people have nice personalities. Have you met anybody recently with a nice personality? Oh, it's sad. They have a nice personality, whether they're serving Jesus Christ or not. Some people never meet a stranger. I've got a son-in-law like that. He just wears me down. He meets everybody. He meets them on every station of life, and they all seem to like him. He has a ministry. I have a ministry. Hurting people are drawn to me like a moth to a flame. And they all know I want to hear every sad thing that ever happened to them. You know what? I could be out of union with Christ and I still might have that. The lady with the beautiful singing voice who sang so beautifully at church, and she's living a double life, but you know what? She still has a beautiful voice. Now, we can be very spiritual and say, well, I would know the difference. Most of you wouldn't. Giving. Yeah, are you aware that there are people who give money and give stuff to church? They don't give themselves. They'll put money in. I've known people living an adulterous, immoral, alcoholic lifestyle who mail tithes. Not to me. I had one preacher say, well, I wouldn't take it from sinners. That's not on tape. Like one man says, the devil's had it long enough now, and God's kingdom will have it. But what I'm just getting at, there's witnesses. I told the church Sunday morning, we had a man in our church who became a foreman at Ford Motor Company. The first day on the job, he was a foreman. He had to put somebody on report. It was a big assembly line, and it goes from one building to another up there at that Ford plant. And one man, a Christian, a Pentecostal Christian, left his place on the line to go and witness on Henry Ford's time to some other man. It shut down the whole line. I believe John told me it was shut down. Actually, they lost about 17 minutes. When you multiply 17 minutes by all the people and all the machinery and the paint sprayers that are spraying into the air or drying up, it cost thousands of dollars. But he was a witness. When John wrote him up, he says, I thought you were a Christian. Bless his heart, John was trying to be a Christian. He's trying to be a faithful steward of what his employer had asked him to do. Some are, you haven't heard me teach on this, VRG, verbalized religious garbage. They know how to talk the talk. We Pentecostals have our own special kind of language. Oh, praise the Lord, sister. Oh, you got holding hands. Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you know the one thing we just didn't do? What didn't I just do? We didn't praise the Lord. Just as easy to say, howdy. Hi, y'all. Hi. Hello. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. It started out with good intention, but you know, we're not praising the Lord. We've learned how to do the things. See, I just did that. That was not the Holy Ghost. I can do it on my own. Did you know that? Did you know I can do that? The Bible tells us when Samson's power was cut off. Read it. It's an interesting little study. She says, Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. The Bible says he stood up and he shook himself as before. I get kind of morbid. I've preached a few places and I said, you know what? The Sunday after the rapture takes place, I think there'll be some church meetings going on. And you know what? There'll be some folks dancing and singing and praising God and trying to confirm to one another that they're okay and that we've just misunderstood this all. It's scary. And talent. I was talking about the musical talent, the ability to speak, the ability to teach, the ability. Then others get out of union with Christ. They slip into other things like materialism. They want things. Forget about Jesus Christ. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You need to be in the house of the Lord. And I know, I'll be honest with you, we don't have nearly as many services as we had years ago. Our church doesn't. And our services are much shorter. When I went to Brother Urshan's church, I got there at 6 in the evening. Had to go over the choir numbers. By 7:30 they'd start. By 9:15 or 9:20, Brother Urshan was ready to preach. And my beloved pastor, and he's a man of God with an anointing of God, but I don't remember him ever preaching under an hour, ever. And so about 11 o'clock, we'd get to the prayer room. In fact, we weren't sure we had good church if we got out of the building before 11:30. Boy, when I tell that to my church, they, oh. We have changed. Now, some of the things, we've trimmed away a lot of sloppiness. We said we're waiting on the Lord. No, you weren't. You're waiting on... We started late, and we acted late, and we weren't prepared, and we weren't organized. And Sissy, if I asked you to come and sing a song in my church, I don't want to hear your life story. I want you to sing a song. If I want you to tell your life story, I'll say, I want you to take about 5 minutes and tell us where you've come from, and then sing your song. You just squelched the spirit. No, I didn't. All things are being done decently and in order. Some night we'll have you and a half a dozen other ladies who've had great experiences in your life. We might even have a whole service just sharing the good things God has done. Reprobate. You know what reprobate is? You don't even hear God anymore. Reprobate. I got some ministers here in the district believe that once you become reprobate, there's no possibility of you ever being saved again. Now, I still believe where there's life, there's hope. And I believe the mercies of God go a lot farther than we do. Self-centered. Oh, I get so peeved. Are you coming to church to get or to give? Well, I sure hope he doesn't preach that old sermon again. I've heard it at least 6 times. I just hate the old slow Baptist-y songs. Oh, you know what? They got this youth group singing that jivey stuff. I don't like that. Am I getting close to... There was a spirit just came in the door. I saw it. I've come to get. Feed me, Pastor. Feed me. I read about a preacher. He wasn't one of our particular group, but he had an experience with God, and one day he looked out at his congregation and he saw a church full of pigs. And as he looked at them, he saw their faces, and they were saying, oink, 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 feed me, feed me, feed me. You know, we do, don't look around, but we do have a few that show up to camp that way. I want to feel, I want to feel, I want to feel. I'd like you to change. I'd like you to grow. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Oh, that's emotion. With all thy soul. Actually, that means mind. And mind. Remember I told you before? God does not want heartless worship, but he also doesn't want mindless worship. Self-willed. Fantasy. Dream world. Retaliation. I'll get her. She sang my song. I was in a church in the deep south, not around here, and I was in the back room, and I was being led up to the platform, and as I got up to the platform, there was a big list of all the current songs and who could sing them. Really, really, really. In other words, if you sang that song, she better never not be singing it. That's now your song. Say, they have a move of God? Well, God moved out. Now, we got this person, he's out of union with Christ. He's either doing good works or he's doing bad works. That doesn't matter as far as this goes. I want to talk about getting in union with Christ. How do we deal with the person who has turned their back on the Lord? I'm going to give you the steps in dealing with a rebel. This may help you a little bit. Number one, the first indication that they have left the Lord is that there is a, they lose the peace, their peace. The Bible tells you when you walk into a house, I believe Jesus said something like this, you walk into a place and see how your peace reacts to that house. Now, Sissy, if you're walking right with God, there is, for lack of a better term, an aura that when you get around certain situations, you're able to tell that man next to you and say, I just don't feel good being here. Have you ever gone into a situation and somehow or other there was an uncomfortable feeling? We're not talking about you going to some den of iniquity, but you got into a situation and there your peace was gone. There are some things that I will not do in my life, and there's nothing in any of our books that say you ought not to be doing this. I'm not talking about a big flagrant sin that everybody would agree on, but there's some things I can't do because I can't keep the peace of God. I want the peace of God in my life more than anything. I want to feel that peace of God that passes all understanding. Luke 10, 5 and 6, for those of you buying tapes. John 14, 27, Acts 10, 36, for the sake of time. There is a peace of God. Now, if you're right with God, you feel some things. The Bible talks about the Spirit bearing witness one with another. You ever met somebody and you just knew they had the Holy Ghost? You just feel it. I met a shoe salesman one time at Sears or one place, and as I walked by him, he just radiated. He's selling shoes. That's as bad as making tents. I just felt it radiate off of. I don't know who he was and where he was coming from, but Holy Ghost. A little girl came into my room in the hospital years ago. I had a kidney stone attack, and she walked in and